This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Monsanto, Jonathan Latham is going to be back to talk more about exactly what Monsanto is proposing to do to our food supplies, what it's already done, of course. Portland State University is hosting the Government Accountability Project's whistleblower tour. Virtually everything here in this list you're going to note all comes back to whistleblowers and the enormous contribution that their courage has made and where it actually has got them insofar as the government is concerned. Also, if you care about CO2 in the air, today's a good day to be in Salem, not because the air is clean, but because you'll have an opportunity to speak out and let legislators know exactly and precisely what you expect them to do. They are, after all, paid to carry out these things. The past few days have been final pretrial hearing for Bradley Manning. The question is, of course, what is classified and how classified is it? We live in a sea of leaks. Indeed, we have become a leaking boat. First, this from the National Weather Service, though. Showers today and a high around 56. It's going to be chilly all day. A brisk south wind, 10 to 15, gusting up to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, look for more showers. Probably early on, though, lows around 47 and breezy, gusting up to about 24 miles per hour. So for tomorrow, the rain continues, and we've got a high around 61, wind dropping off a bit to 8 miles per hour for tomorrow night. It'll be wet and with a low around 49. Our alternative forecast holding pretty much steady. The waxing gibbous root moon in Virgo is 12 days old. It's a good synodic forecast. Again, this is all pretty steady. Vegetables that produce internal seed bearing fruit. Biodynamicists say that with the moon in Virgo, it's an earth sign, so go for those root plants, but not so much flowering plants. It's ideal. They also say that moon in Virgo, you might want to do some garden maintenance. And moving straight into the show for today, many listeners are aware that the Government Accountability Project has been front and center in the defense of whistleblowers, of people who have had the courage to stand up and speak out when they see something has gone terribly, terribly wrong, when there is malfeasance of some sort, and in cases especially with malfeasance with regard to public safety and the public's right to privacy as well. So we're going to be speaking today. This is an event taking place today. It will be at beginning, I believe, at 11:30 at Portland State University. And we are extremely honored and very, very pleased to welcome back to the KBOO airwaves Dr. Walter Termositis of the Hanford Nuclear Reservation. Good morning, Dr. Termositis. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Hello, Chris. How are you? Glad to be here.
We're really doing well. We're here we are. Let's say that we can say that at least. Yes, we haven't been on for a while. We're really glad that you can join us today. This is the GAP's American Whistleblower Tour, Essential Voices for Accountability. This is the final stop of the 2012-2013 tour. It'll be at PSU, just to get this out of the way first, 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. We'll see everybody down there who can make it. Walter, I'm glad to have you with us. Can you talk briefly, bring everybody up to speed and why it is more important now? It seems that the work that you did, what you revealed over the course of time, instead of diminishing, has grown in significance and import. Can you talk a bit about what you did and how it's seen in light of today's rather hostile climate towards whistleblowers?
Yeah, sure. Very quickly, I wrote a letter to the Defense Board in July of 2010. And if I had not written that letter, the Bechtel Corporation would have continued building the WTP, the waste treatment plant. They would have continued building it, and it never would have run. And the letter prompted many investigations, and finally one by Secretary Chu, the former Secretary of Energy, the person who just left that position. And he, in essence, has shut the construction down. So he recognized there are many technical problems with it, and it all resulted from the letter I wrote to the Defense Board. And I would just add one thing to your comment about Portland State University. The session starts at 11:30. It goes 11:30 to 1. It's in the Smith Memorial Student Union Building. I believe that's room 238. Tom Carpenter will be there, Chris, and he'll be talking about Hanford. Dana Gold will be talking about GAP, and I'll be talking about my case, so I encourage everybody to come.
We're going to try to get other people on the air today. Of course, the coincidence of this being, this week marks the final pretrial hearings for Bradley Manning. The atmosphere for whistleblowers is indeed hostile, and
well, you can see the value of them if you take Benghazi. If the whistleblowers hadn't come forward in Benghazi, we may not have anywhere near as much information as we need. I mean, whistleblowers, while it has, while people, you know, don't like being them and may look cross-eyed at them, they play an important role in bringing forth the true information.
Thank you so much for that. Anything else you would like listeners to know before we let you go this morning?
No, Chris, thank you for having me on the air, and I hope to see you and others at Portland State University at 11:30.
We'll be there. Thank you so much for that. Well, moving right along, in Salem today, yesterday we had on Hannah Soul, and we were talking about this action. This is the first one. Just as a reminder, today hundreds of people from across Cascadia are going to be on the steps of the Capitol to pressure lawmakers to put a price on pollution and address the root cause of climate change by enacting a revenue-neutral carbon tax. It is, I think, important to note that the root cause of climate change may indeed be the CO2 emissions, but the reason that we are facing this problem and the fact that we are now at 400 parts per million in our atmosphere and that there's really no turning back, the cause of this is the demand on the earth to produce these resources. Fundamental issue here is population and the carrying capacity of the earth. Too many people needing to use too much energy. This, of course, is Oregon's first Climate Action Day. Both businesses and environmental groups are involved, and there is a growing interest in taxing carbon to address climate change. The idea is to all in addition to spur economic revival. When the Dalai Lama was here recently, Governor Kitzhaber made the rather specious argument that, and I don't use that term lightly, and it is not necessarily a non-objective term in this case, that we could have solid environmental stewardship in addition to growth. These two endeavors, of course, are in stark contrast to one another and defeat one another. Growth is exactly what the problem is. And this was clearly brought home to the governor by the words of David Suzuki and, of course, the Dalai Lama as well. The idea that we're going to spur economic revival by taxing carbon seems to be self-canceling activities. Nonetheless, this is a worthy event. It is terribly important to face full on the results of growth that has been unrestrained and been carried out with no regard for future generations. We have we will be speaking tomorrow with Jody McCaffrey with Citizens Against LNG. It looks very likely that Obama is going to approve natural gas exports. We began speaking about that yesterday. We want to continue to talk about that. Of course, it would result in a huge increase in fracking in the United States. This week, there have been small whispers of concern about potable water and the demise of our aquifers. Aquifers across the country are in serious trouble. We're going to be speaking tomorrow with Mark Lakeman of the Village Building Convergence, part of a decentralized pattern of movements across the country organized to address community building and sustainability that's hands-on in every way. We also want to talk more about Monsanto. Of course, on the 25th, there's a global day of action against Monsanto. The Monsanto Protection Act, as Jeff Merkley refers to it, it is on the table, and it needs to be removed from that table absolutely as soon as possible. There is a great deal more to talk about, great many people to talk with. But for today, this has been a Cascadia for Wednesday, May 22nd, 2013. Kurt Lauer engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Kurt. Kathleen Stevenson's the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoint, Guatemala's top court tosses out the historic conviction for genocide and crimes against humanity of former military leader and mass murderer. Yes, that would be Efrain Rios Montt. Also, a compelling new documentary on the intimidation and censorship faced by some of the most important journalists of our time, including the late Gary Webb, who nailed down a long time and deep connection between the U.S., CIA, and various members of the Colombian cartels. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoint. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. Well, let me just read a little bit off the BBC news wires. Guatemala annuls Rios Montt's genocide conviction. And it goes on a little bit. Guatemala's top court has thrown out the conviction for genocide and crimes against humanity of former military leader Efrain Rios Montt. The Constitutional Court ruled that the trial should restart from the point where it stood on April 19th. Well, joining us to talk about what happened on April 19th and what really is the politics behind the scene here is Alan Nairn, longtime investigative reporter, was reporting on these genocidal actions in Guatemala in the 1980s and is responsible for breaking the story and helping to inform. In fact, was supposed to be a witness at the recently concluded trial. Alan, welcome back to Flashpoints. Now, we were talking about this a couple of days ago, and you were very concerned that this would be a major battlefront. Remind people, tell us what happened here. Well, you know, they refer to a certain date in which to restart the trial. Explain this.
Well, the ruling says that the sentence is voided, that Rios Montt is no longer guilty. He no longer has to serve 80 years, and that the trial has to be wound back to where it was on April 19th, which is shortly before the closing arguments began. It's pure politics. The legal rationales they use for this decision are being laughed at by Guatemalan lawyers. It happened because after Rios Montt was convicted, the oligarchy, represented by a group called CACIF, the Chambers of commerce, agriculture, industry, and finance, and AmCham, the American Chamber of Commerce in Guatemala, which represents the U.S. investors, and the old institutional army, all came forward and demanded that the verdict against Rios Montt be annulled. And General Pérez Molina, the president of Guatemala, went along with this demand because he seems increasingly more worried every day that he could be next in the dock because of his own role as Rios Montt's field commander. And so they annulled the sentence. But the Constitutional Court, which is really just a political tool, interestingly enough, didn't really have the courage of their convictions. Because if it was, if the case was constitutionally flawed, as they claimed, they could have wiped out all the testimony. They could have dismissed the trial court, but they didn't do that. They're basically buying time, awaiting further political instruction. And so a huge struggle is going on. On one side, you have a mountain of cadavers. On the other, you have an enraged Guatemalan oligarchy, which sees the verdict against Rios Montt, as they put it in their official publication, as implicating all of us. What it really implicates is anyone who wants the right to kill civilians. So that's the battle going on right now, and it's going to be fierce.
All right, I want to talk a little bit about some of the implications when and if the people win this battle to go back to court and have this guy convicted again, because he was convicted. But I want to talk a little bit more about what's at stake and what might be the real forces. Now, you mentioned the current sitting president, and this is a story we talked a little bit about it last week. You know a lot about and it's a story that has to do with the president in a way, Alan, it has to do with you. Could you explain this?
Yes. In 1982, in the midst of the massacres, I was in the massacre zone in the Ixchel Highlands in the northwest of Guatemala, where the massacres for which Rios Montt was convicted were taking place. And Rios Montt's local commander on the ground was a man who went by the name of Major Tito Arias. That turned out to be a fake.